Hello and welcome back to the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. I'm Alan Jackaway, and sitting with me is Mr. James Bunnell.
Hello, listeners.
James, it was an exciting day in the sports that we don't cover yesterday.
Yeah, that is true.
For the area we live in. Both the Nationals and Orioles clinched their spots in the playoffs.
It's true.
There's something I want to say about this.
Yeah.
How long have they been doing the thing where they put on ski masks for the champagne squirting on each other?
Yeah, so I was thinking about this last night, too. I was at the Orioles game, and they, you know, show on the Jumbotron the cameras from down in the locker room afterwards. Yeah. And the coaching staff was passing out, like, normal swimmer's goggles to everyone that walked by, okay? But there were still two or three people who managed to wear, like, full-on ski masks or something
like that. In the Nationals one, which we saw on TV, it looked like almost everyone had full-on ski masks.
See, I think the Nationals, are trying to... They're still feeling their way around the celebration. This is only the second time they've been able to do that as a franchise. So they're sort of looking at the old traditions, trying to establish their own traditions. I don't really get the ski mask thing, but whatever.
Well, I mean, I guess it's to... I mean, obviously, it's to make it a more pleasant experience getting champagne sprayed all over you, but it does sort of make the celebration a little weird when all these baseball players... Like, for football players, you're like, well, you always see them in the helmet anyway, right?
Sure, yeah.
But with the baseball players, it's, like, weird to see them, like, put on these masks to go in and just spray champagne on each other. It's
I will say that the Orioles had Nelson Cruz wear a helmet with a GoPro camera attached to it for the champagne spraying ceremonies.
Nice.
Which, yeah. Well, that's pretty great.
You probably didn't see this, which we saw, because we were watching on TV. We weren't actually there. But during the ninth inning, they had the cart of champagne. They had, like, the picture of the cart of champagne already in there, in the locker room, ready to go.
Yeah.
And we were like, man, if there's a ninth inning rally, some poor guy... And, you know, they've got the lockers all taped off with the plastic. We were like, some poor guy's gonna have to, like, rip that stuff down real fast. Be like, oh, no, gotta get rid of the champagne, gotta tear down all this plastic, make sure they don't think we were here. Would have been, like, the saddest little office job that you ever have to do to, like, wheel that cart out real quick and, like, take all the players come in. They're like, why is there all this plastic on the floor? I don't know. Anyway, we are going to talk about football. I guess we're going to do that now. All right, James, we have some games to sort of kind of review.
Yeah.
We have some games we watched. We have some players we watched.
Yeah.
We have some players that we need to discuss if we think that they're, you know, for real or not for real, or what we think's going to happen there.
Yeah.
Do you want to start with the Washington professional football teams? The Washington... Yeah. Oh, we came up with what? Captain Kirk and the...
Captain Kirk and the red shirts, as I intend on calling them for the rest of the season. Maybe the rest of forever, but certainly the rest of this season.
I think as long as Captain Kirk's in charge, we can call them Captain Kirk and the red shirts.
Yeah.
So Captain Kirk and the red shirts dismantled Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And their defense looked competent doing it, albeit against Jacksonville.
Right, yeah. I'll say that.
Is the Washington defense... any good?
Well, the secondary, the answer is still no in the secondary.
Okay.
And we saw that. I mean, we saw D'Angelo Hall being classic D'Angelo Hall and completely out of position on a number of passes that he only managed to recover from.
Is it possible that while watching the game, there were plays that he was in position, you didn't recognize him as D'Angelo Hall?
That's quite possible. A lot of the cornerbacks have numbers in the 20s, and it is true
it's
that
confusing.
Sometimes I'm not 100% sure. But I feel like he was out of position on nearly every play. But the pass rush has significantly improved from last year.
Yeah, Kerrigan looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Kerrigan gets two consecutive sacks, and then they immediately bench the right tackle on that side. But
yeah,
I think a big takeaway, and in part it's Washington's pass rush, but I think an even bigger takeaway is Jacksonville is going to give up a lot of sacks. It really looks like they're going to give up unprecedented numbers of sacks potentially.
Oh man.
And
you want to be
in on that. So just if you've got a player playing against Jacksonville this week, looks like that is the Colts. So if you've got pass rushers on the Colts, which you probably don't because their pass rushers are not good.
Yeah.
So maybe this week is not the week to apply that knowledge, but in future weeks when you're playing against the Jaguars, that's a good time to start your pass rushers, I think. So.
Yeah, especially those guys that, like, they may not produce consistently on the tackles, but they have the high upside if they can get sacks.
Yeah.
Those are the guys you want to put in.
Yep, and I guess, you know, for the Colts, that's Bjorn Werner, but, man, if you have to start Bjorn Werner, you're in a weird situation.
Maybe you're in a 16-team league, or...
I don't know.
You weren't allowed to draft your own team or something, but...
Yeah. Weren't allowed to draft your own. Someone forced you to only start players with Icelandic-sounding names.
Yeah, maybe. If that happens to you, I don't know, I mean, we encourage strange leagues. We play in a couple ourselves,
We do. That we do, so... All right, let's talk about what I think is the biggest pickup for the week. Kyle Fuller comes in. Charles Tillman tears his, let's say tricep, but it could be a bicep. Tears one of his
arm muscles.
One or two of his seps, 2 to 3 of his seps were torn.
Yes.
He's out for the year. Kyle Fuller, their rookie, comes in at cornerback and promptly makes 2 interceptions, one of which was, like, the craziest play I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It honestly maybe should be our hit of the week, even though it's not a hit. Like, it was just the craziest. Is he for real? That's the question.
So, he obviously has the skills. I think he benefited, in terms of fantasy points, he benefited on Sunday night from being an untested cornerback, you know, in a professional football game. So, of course, the quarterback, when given his options, is going to take that matchup over the other matchup. Because who the hell is this guy playing against him? That obviously went great for Fuller and
poorly for Kaepernick.
Bad for Kaepernick, right? But I think the talent is there. I think he probably will produce points, but the performance we saw last night should be an aberration. I mean, people should learn. They'll watch. Teams will have tape on him after this week. Teams will see and notice that, like, he is talented and you can't just...
Yeah, I don't know, though. That second interception wasn't even to the guy he was covering.
That's a fair point.
He broke off his coverage to go undercut. It was just crazy.
That's
but anyway.
A good point. He's a good guy. I'm saying pick him up, definitely. He's talented. He's good. He'll score points.
Yep.
Don't
count on
super,
2 interceptions.
Yeah, don't count on 2 interceptions a game. Don't.
He's somehow, because he barely played the first week, but because there haven't been very many 2-interception games, he's somehow, like, the number 2 cornerback in fantasy right now. So that's just with those 2 interceptions, basically. Not even a touchdown, just what can you do, right?
Yeah.
Let's see, other players who I thought had notable performances that we should talk about for the future, possible pickups. We actually advise this person to be drafted, but if he was not drafted in your league, Rolando McClain of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Had a good game. He's had reliable tackles both games he's played, and he got an interception last week.
He may not be quite the level that Sean Lee was, but with no Sean Lee there.
But he has the opportunity, and he should give you reliable numbers, and then if he gets an interception, if he gets a sack or a forced fumble, like, then you've got a good week on your hands.
Exactly.
So, you know, he's another one of these players where we're not saying trade everyone for him. We're just saying, like, if you need a linebacker, Melanda McClain. We're in favor of McClain's, although I don't think the other McClain that we advertise. We won't even... The point is, as we said at the beginning, we are in favor of Rolando McClain and no other McClains.
Exactly.
From a schematic standpoint, I watched a lot of the Saints game. I, like, went back and rewatched the coaches' footage for the Saints game to try to figure, because the Saints were a defense that we were, like,
pretty
high on. We thought that, and a lot of people were. This was not unique to us.
No.
And we saw Jairus Byrd coming in there. We were like, this defense was pretty good last year, and it's going to be better. And it's weird. So their run defense looked actually really good. And they were, you know, I mean, it's against Cleveland, but Cleveland's offensive line is decent. And they, you know, they came off their blocks well. They seemed like they knew their assignments in the middle of the field. And it just, their pass defense, specifically those cornerbacks and that second cornerback, are just getting killed, really, just really picked on in coverage. They're, you know, they're playing, I think, too far off the line in a lot of cases and just letting up a lot of easy catches, which actually is usually good for fantasy, but hasn't even really been that reliable for us. And I don't know, it's like a weird situation where if they can't figure out their pass rush, it's going to be really difficult for them. So, you know, last year I think they got a lot of their help, you know, they had sort of substandard cornerbacks last year too, but they made up for it by getting to the quarterback very quickly.
Yes.
And that has not happened through 2 weeks and didn't really seem like it was all that close to happening even against the not overly mobile Brian Hoyer.
No,
you know,
but
a good offensive line.
Right.
So, I don't know. I think that defense can be good in matchups against teams that have bad offensive lines, although they didn't show it against the Falcons,
right,
who had a bad offensive line. It looks bad.
Yeah, it does not look good for the Saints, which is strange. You think Rob Ryan in there.
Yeah.
I don't know, and after last year, it's hard to see what's happening here, but we'll get back to you on that, listeners. We'll keep you posted.
Well, yeah, I mean, from a fantasy standpoint, you have to downgrade Jarris Bird after two bad games. They weren't disaster games. He got something, but not what we were really hoping for coming into the year. And I don't know, if you picked up those pass rushers because you were like, oh man, last year these guys had a bunch of sacks. Mm-hmm. I would not be playing them until further notice. Although I guess I can make a case this week against. Although Minnesota's got a pretty good offensive line too, so probably wouldn't.
They spent a lot of time building that up.
I would not do it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I would not do it.
Don't do it.
Let's see. Any other notable players you wanted to talk about? Other than just Ryan Kerrigan over and over again?
No,
which
over
we can
and over
always
and over
do.
Again.
I mean, some of this is, players getting to where we were hoping they were going to. Like, Melvin Ingram had a good game. We talked about him at the beginning of the year. Calais Campbell, who had an awful outing that first week, shows back up with a huge day. So, some of this is like a return to normalcy, and some of it is like reliable players. Like, Carlos Dansby has been reliable and has another really good week. So, that's not really something we need to discuss other than just... Nice to see. Good
it's
job,
nice
Carlos
to see.
Dansby.
Yeah, it's going to take a couple, three games for things to start stabilizing.
Yeah,
this may still not quite yet be the time to panic. If
I'm just trying to think of other players, that you might want to go out and try to acquire, or players that might be buy low opportunities. And I will say that the Houston defense is interesting. They've been playing very, very well. But somehow, despite that, Brian Cushing has not been putting up particularly good stats. He's in that same Jarris Bird category where it's like, we thought really highly of him, and he has not delivered so far. But I still, if you could find a panic Brian Cushing owner, and you could get, you can get him for, especially if you can get him for like, a linebacker 3 in that territory, one of these, lower pick guys. I would still do that. I'm still somewhat optimistic that he can bring it back together.
Yeah, I mean, we know that he can play. We know that his injury is hopefully getting better. I think you're right, Alan. I think it's not time to abandon Brian Cushing yet. There is one more player that I want to mention. On Buffalo, with the noted absence of Kiko Alonso, another rookie has stepped into the fold and had two pretty decent games in the beginning here. Nearly double-digit games.
That's Preston Brown, is that right?
Yeah. Preston Brown. He's 20 tackles in the first two games together. It's because he's playing the exact same spot Kiko Alonso was. Middle linebacker.
Yeah, and some of fantasy is opportunity. He clearly has it. He has enough talent to make good opportunities with it. So that's another good pickup if you're looking for linebackers. Fortunately, we haven't had huge amounts of injury like the way that the offensive side of the ball has this week. So,
oh man,
I don't know. There's not a whole bunch of players that you are really desperately trying to replace. But if you have those bench slots lower on your roster, I think Preston Brown, like Rolando McClain, are kind of good players to seek out on that. And another one I would put up there, I think, is George Iloka from Cincinnati, the safety.
Yeah.
Who had a bad week the first week, but really looked like he was much more in control of what was going on the second week. And I think, again, not someone that I'm really wanting to just throw into my starting lineup, but someone that I'd be happy to be holding if I need a safety for the future.
Absolutely.
Know? And if you did have a safety that got injured, then maybe
then
put
him
in
up.
The starting lineup. All right, that'll do us. We're going to do a preview.
Preview.
All right, James, we generally start these previews with the Thursday night game.
Yeah.
Buccaneers at Falcons. Buccaneers were a team that we were both, I think, pretty high on. We really like Lovie Smith. We thought his defenses in the past have been good.
Yeah.
And they have not been good.
No.
And last week, their best player, Gerald McCoy, broke his hand.
Yeah.
I think he's going to play. I think he's going to go with the club.
With the club.
That they often go with. But
fortunately, those linemen can often play with that club.
Yeah, usually they don't play quite as well with the club. But they can. He will be out there. And I think if you have Gerald McCoy, I would start. As if he's playing, I would start him. I wouldn't worry about the club.
Yeah.
This is going to be a tough game, I think, for the Buccaneers.
I think so, too.
The Falcons are generally very good at home.
Yeah.
That defense, I mean, I don't know. The Buccaneers are going to need their defense.
Absolutely.
I'm still not totally sure that their cornerbacks are good.
Yeah.
And that could be a serious problem for them up against Roddy White and Julio and all the rest of the Falcons.
Yeah, if there's one thing that the Falcons can do pretty well, we're pretty sure it's pass the football.
Yeah, I mean, we'll take a close look at what's going on with the Buccaneers defense here, but I don't know. I don't think I'm really starting anyone except for McCoy, the safeties.
Levante David.
Levante David, obviously. Almost forgot Levante David.
Yeah, well, he's had a couple of lackluster performances in these first 2 weeks.
But I'm not
to imagine that that's going to get better.
I don't think we could get to a point this season where I would give up on Levante David.
Yeah.
So we're not going to... That's not happening. But
not happening.
On the Falcons side, I guess I'm a little more optimistic just because McCown has looked so bad.
Yeah.
But this is a game where you could easily see William Moore picking up a safety, any of those type of guys. Worlow has been really reliable. I've been very pleased with that since that was a player we were high on early coming into the year. And he has had, you know, 2 games of that, like, 8 to 10 tackle range.
Right, which is pretty good.
Yeah, and I think he will continue to do that because that's the position he's playing. And I think he's sufficiently talented to do it. So,
yeah.
I don't know. That's all I want to say about that. I don't want, you know, we're not doing every game and this one's... I think it could be ugly. So.
Yeah.
Oh, and we could be proved wrong, but
and a Thursday night game, so you know, increase the ugliness factor.
Thursday night games. Yeah. All right, a game we do want to talk about. You want to just do the Kirk Cousins show, Captain Kirk against the Eagles. So I think we should each give our opinion on what's going to happen here. But in my experience, my limited experience watching Captain Kirk, he's not one to shy away from the turnover.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would be concerned about that.
Uh-huh.
You didn't see it against Jacksonville. Jacksonville's defense is not very good.
No.
I'm not going to say Philadelphia's defense is good, but I am going to say it's better than Jacksonville's.
That is a statement I will agree with.
So, I think if you, for whatever reason, happen to have Boykin, who was very good last year but hasn't been so good this year, I think this is... You know, give him that. If you were giving him a shot already, give him this shot.
Yes.
Give him this shot to figure it out. Same for all those Eagles secondary. I wouldn't play them just because Captain Kirk's coming, but if you were already playing them, but you were thinking about benching them, give him one more week.
Yeah.
Give him this one more try, and we'll see what happens. Also, Fletcher Cox looks awesome.
He's looking great
on that defense,
this year.
And I hope he continues to look awesome and terrorize everyone.
Yeah. I agree. I think, you know, the history of Captain Kirk with the Redshirts is that he comes in a game when RG3 is hurt, and he plays really well.
Yep.
And everything looks really good. And then he has to start the next game, and things don't look anywhere near as good in that next game, right? And this is the thing that worries me. Now, deep in my heart, I truly do believe that Captain Kirk and the Redshirts are going to walk all over the Eagles this week. But in my brain, I'm not really seeing that as quite so likely. I think that the Eagles have shown this year that they, you know, I'm not super excited about their pass rush, but the other elements of their defense have been competent at least.
Yes,
right?
Which is an improvement.
Which is an improvement over last year. And that Captain Kirk rarely rises above the level of competence, as much as I love him and will forever root for him.
Yeah.
And I just see that this would... I agree completely with Alan. I would upvote all of my Eagles players this week.
Just a little bit. And in general, we say to upvote the... red shirts, as we're calling them, I almost can't do it.
Yeah, I know.
The red shirts players as well, because in general we like defensive players against the Eagles just because of the snap count. So.
Yeah, it's true.
There could also be some points in this game.
I will say this. Jay Gruden, the new head coach for the Starship Enterprise, was very adamant this year about turning RG3 into a pocket passer. So a lot of the Redskins' offensive schemes are more built around having a pocket-passing quarterback, which is exactly what Captain Kirk is.
Yeah, I don't think that's the problem. The problem is that he throws it to the wrong team sometimes.
Yes, I agree with Alan on this. So I think that, yeah, the people that I'm really upvoting are the Eagles' secondary. I wouldn't get super excited about the Eagles' pass rush.
Yeah, I wouldn't either, I suppose. And that the Washington offensive line is competent.
Is competent, so. Yeah. Definitely.
All right, let's go on to the defensive showdown of the week, which obviously is 49ers at Cardinals.
Yeah, that's going to be I don't know what a defensive slugfest looks like to the fans, but I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen right here.
We've had some defensive slugfests. I recall a 49ers Seahawks game last year. That was and also that Carolina game.
Ooh,
the Carolina 49ers
yes.
game was actually even more of a defensive slugfest.
That was a great game.
10-9 or whatever finish.
Yeah, that was a great game.
Obviously, you know, if you like defense, you should watch this one. It's at 4:00, so there's actually a decent chance you get it, unless everyone's just going to broadcast Broncos-Seahawks, which probably everyone's just going to broadcast Broncos-Seahawks.
Probably. It's looking like they're on different networks, but...
Yeah, but we won't go into the whole TV thing mm-hmm. there, but the point is, watch it, enjoy it.
Yeah.
You get Drew Stanton or Carson Palmer passing to your secondary option. So if you are an Eric Reed owner, this is a good week to.
Great week.
He falls into the don't give up on him yet, give him this week.
Yeah, definitely.
Camp of players that we were talking about. Willis, you're playing anyway. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of these players you're playing anyway. I would be a little bit concerned about Calais Campbell just because Kaepernick's real fast, but
yeah.
they'll have runs at him and stuff. He'll get something, so.
Mm-hmm.
In general, I think that's good. I also will say this. We've had concerns about Patrick Peterson in the past as a fantasy option, but
yeah.
I think that they're going to throw at him.
Teams
have been doing it this year.
Yeah, it's been... I overestimated how afraid of Patrick Peterson NFL teams would be. If I were an NFL coach, I would still be completely afraid of him.
I would too, but I don't know. Teams went back to throwing at Richard Sherman last week too.
I know.
After Green Bay did their sacrifice a player strategy last week, the Chargers were like, "Forget this. We're just going to throw right at him,"
and it
was
worked.
Fine. So
yeah.
It's just you either have to have a receiver who's really good at getting off the line and evading the player, which is how the Chargers did it because Keenan Allen's super good at that. And
yeah.
I think Larry Fitzgerald has some tricks up his sleeve.
He's a crafty receiver.
That was the wrong team, though. I think Michael Crabtree has some tricks up his sleeve. So, I think that there's gonna be targets there, and there could be tackles. I also will say this: Honey Badger's back.
Yeah,
he had one whole point last week.
I know. Watch out, guys.
I think he can at least double that this week.
I'm pretty sure he can.
He's not someone you want to start yet.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a bench slot and he's available, I would grab him now. He was very good last year, still coming off the ACL. He's still on a limited snap count at this point.
Right.
But they're going to be phasing him in, I think, pretty quickly.
Because,
mm-hmm. you know, there were no setbacks. That's the real takeaway from the last game is that
he
went out on the snap count he was on. There were no setbacks. He looked fine.
Yeah.
So I think that's just going to increase. So there's another pickup for you. Do you want to talk about Broncos at Seahawks at all, other than that's
not
just
really.
That it's happening?
It's going to happen.
I think it's going to be interesting what happens with the pass rushes.
Yes.
And I honestly
that's
think the game is going to be determined mostly by the pass rushes.
I think you're right.
So whichever one of those is more effective, I think is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
This
will be the first... I would say this would be the real first test for the Broncos' new pass rush.
Yes,
if they can do well tonight, they'll be set for the rest of the year.
Yep. Indeed. Let's see. Any other games with real takeaways? J.J. Watt gets to chase Eli Manning around.
That's true.
It's going to be kind of fun.
Yeah, and in J.J. Watt news, fans of the Texans and
J.J.
Watt.
Oh, true. We didn't even talk about this yet.
Yeah. Texans coach has said that you can look to see J.J. Watt line up as a tight end more in the red zone now.
Yeah,
he loved it so much last week. It's going to keep happening.
Why not? So
yeah,
if you are in a league that gives you points for offensive scores for defensive players,
mm-hmm.
which I think most people probably are. Unless you're in a defensive-only league like we have, you will get those points. You know, upgrade J.J. Watt even farther.
Even farther. He's even more now the number one player you should own. And
yeah. It was crazy. So we saw that on the satellite. We're like, oh, he has a touchdown. Weird. He must have gotten a thing. And they're like, no, they passed it to
they
him.
They passed it straight to him. He was wide open, too. Anyway,
they must just not have believed it. They were like, what's this?
What the hell?
Should have known, though. You bring a guy like that out there.
Yeah, like obviously you're going to throw it to him. It's like whenever Patrick Peterson would be on the offense for the Cardinals. You just
don't put him out there with no reason.
Yeah.
All right. I guess since we usually do the night games, we should also talk about Steelers and Panthers. Panthers have looked
good.
Panthers
are good, yeah. I mean, defense definitely looked good.
Yeah, the offense is still a work in progress, but it's been competent, as we were saying before, so...
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, Ben Roethlisberger takes a lot of sacks, but I'm not starting those Panthers. I guess I am starting Charles Johnson. If I had Charles Johnson, I would start him this week. But...
And I think, you know, after the... It was a Thursday night game, but after this week's Thursday night game, the Ravens-Steelers game, Steelers, on offense, their line did not look like it could do almost anything competently.
Yeah, which is weird, because they looked better the first week, and, you know, they'll have 10 days or whatever here, so we'll see if they can get it together a little more, because that first week they looked pretty good, and, you know, against the Browns, who we think are decent, generally, at disrupting a offensive line, so I don't know... I'm not willing to write off the Steelers
could
offensive
line yet.
Could just
been a Thursday fluke.
Say. I am willing to say that Ben Roethlisberger likes to take a sack.
He does, take a sack or two.
He sure does. And it should be interesting for the Steelers. This might be a good Shazier game. He's been covering tight ends. Greg Olsen's a big weapon for the Panthers, so I think that he could have ample opportunities to score points if you are desperate for linebackers and he's around. Mm-hmm. I think that's a decent option this week, too. One more. Let's do Bears at Jets, the Monday night game.
Yeah.
This is going to be a weird one.
Oh, yeah.
Untested secondaries. Yeah. You know, we get to find out if Kyle Fuller's for real. He gets to do it against Geno Smith, which is generally a good thing.
For your secondary, not for Geno Smith.
You know, Jets secondary still looks bad to me. Yeah. I'm still not starting any of those players.
No.
If I can avoid it. We get to see if Muhammad Wilkerson can just take over this game, which would be my favorite outcome.
Would be spectacular.
The version where Muhammad Wilkerson just takes over the game and hits Jay Cutler so much that he can't keep it together, which happens.
It totally happens. Sometimes. Yeah.
But yeah, in terms of, you know, I think the Bears are a team that we need to pay extra attention to this week, because we have to figure out what's going on with these linebackers.
Yeah, it's like, so strange.
John Bostic is in a ton.
He's
not good.
Which doesn't make any sense, because he's bad. Yeah.
DJ Williams isn't scoring points.
Lance Briggs isn't scoring points.
Like, next week, we will have information for you about what's going on with the Chicago linebackers, because it's just been crazy
so far. It's insane.
I
can't understand what's happening.
I would not start any of them in this game.
No. No.
And I would not start very many Jets in this game either.
No.
So.
No.
This one's,
this one's a bad one.
I think it's a bad one for fantasy. What's weird about it, though, is that I don't particularly see it as, like, an insanely high-scoring game.
No. It could be a really sloppy game, though.
Yeah, it could be. It definitely could be.
That's sort of what I'm predicting. Yeah. Kind of a mess, just on all fronts. All
right. Well, very good. Enjoy your Week 3 games. Thank you for listening to the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. Our theme and interstitial music is Dear Liza by Ned and the Dirt. We don't have a hit of the week this week, James.
Yeah.
We don't have one. We didn't find something that was obvious.
Yeah.
It's been kind of a depressing week in the NFL.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. We're not feeling the hit of the week this week.
Yeah.
Hopefully
we'll
get something good.
You know, some sports shows you'll see or you listen to out there, they'll have a segment that they do every week, and they have to throw something in, right? They'll compromise their journalistic integrity. They'll name something a play of the day or a play of the week or something, but it won't really be. It's just the best they could find, right?
We're looking at you, SportsCenter. There's not always 10 top plays.
No.
10?
Come on. Seriously? Yeah. Anyway, we have journalistic integrity here at the Impenetrable Fortress. We are not going to name a hit of the week unless it's worthy of the hit of the week title.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll get another week with two. There were two last week.
Yeah.
Go back and rewatch those. Mm-hmm. They were both on offense. I swear that sometime there will be a defensive hit of the week.
Yeah, when the defenses start producing.
At least a special teams hit of the week.
Right, true. We could get another
Pat McAfee punter. Yeah, just go back and Google Pat McAfee tackle. and watch Pat McAfee deck the guy, and just, that's the hit of the week again. Yeah. It's a throwback hit of the
week. Throwback hit of the week. I like it.
Pat McAfee decks a guy on a punt return.
It was so good, it's worth watching twice.
It's worth watching all the time. Yeah. You should set it as your background. Can you set a GIF as your background, and it'll just loop on your computer?
I know, you can have dynamic backgrounds on the newer Samsung phones, at least, so you probably can.
Yeah, put it on your phone. Make it your... I don't know if this is still a thing, but you know when people, it used to be when people called you, you could have like a picture show up?
Yeah.
That should be your picture for someone.
Find the appropriate person that you know. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Very good. We will be here next week from Alan.
And James.
Stay low.